So it is this week. I can't believe it, but it is going to be the beginning of Lent. And so this Wednesday will be Ash Wednesday. So that means that on Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. So a lot of people eat pancakes or something that's just like really sweet or really rich types of food to prepare for, you know, that big feast before you kind of give something up a lot of times for Lent. And this is not something that we require in our church, but it's something that we participate in because we believe that it's a good spiritual exercise and preparation for anticipating the season and that week of Easter, the Holy Week, and celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. And so we have these bookmarks. If you still read paper books, otherwise you could you know probably magnet this on your fridge or something like that or put it somewhere. And so we had just kind of a guide for 40 days of prayer. So beginning on Ash Wednesday is 40 days before Easter, at the Lenten season. And so what we invite you to do is to just spend some time in extra prayer. Maybe you want to give something up. Some people give up sweets, or some people give up coffee if they're really spiritual. Some people give up certain types of food, or will skip a meal during the day. And the whole idea is that when you find that, when you have that craving, or when you have that normal time of day when you would participate in those things, what you would do is just take that time to focus on Jesus, to focus on prayer. And that's the invitation. It's as simple as that. And it is a spiritual exercise that just deepens our walk spiritually with God. And it's a beautiful experience, not just in preparation for Easter, but also just the preparation in your own heart to get closer to Jesus, get closer to God. And so we also have this, there's a couple of QR codes there that lead you to an app that's called Lectio 365. It's not something that we did. It's something that is an organization, and they do, it's for Apple and Android. We put both QR codes on there. But basically, it is you have a short morning devotional and focused on prayer, and then you have a midday one where it's a lot of times it's the Lord's Prayer, and just take a pause in the middle of the day, and then also it's the evening one is kind of an examine with an A, where you just kind of weigh the day and you assess the day and just take a time for assessing the day, and then journeying towards just clearing your heart, your mind, your soul, and getting ready for rest. And so those are the three things that you can do during the day. Now, here's the thing. I know that 40 days is a long time. It is a long time. The last church I was at, I challenged them to do 90 days of prayer. I argued with God on that one because I'm like, 90 days is just too long. But 40 days is a lot easier. But here's the thing. If you're like, 40 days is just too long, try 21, 3 weeks. You can give up something for 3 weeks, and you can focus on prayer for 3 weeks. You can do it for 10 days or maybe a week even. You want to try that just to try it out, just kind of put your toe in the water a little bit to be able to participate in this sort of spiritual exercise, because it's a wonderful thing. And I've never heard anybody regret doing that, focusing on prayer more, doing a spiritual exercise. I've never heard of anybody regretting that. And so I would encourage you to do that and just participate in that way. And as God speaks into your life and reveals things to you, that you can share those with your faith community and those who are around you, and just to be able to, to celebrate in this way. Now, here's the thing. With fasting of any sort, there's kind of a guide that Jesus gives us in fasting. And it's to kind of make it a secret venture. Now, we can have, if you're giving up sugar, you have to let your family know because, you know, they're going to wonder. But the thing is, with Jesus, he talks about how, you know, when you fast, put oil on your head. Now, don't do that because we don't put oil on our head, but maybe, you know, like do your hair is basically what he's saying. And wash your face. And just don't make it look like you're suffering and making all the other people around you suffer with you, but have it as this sort of secret thing that you're doing with Jesus to build your relationship with God. And that's what Jesus calls us to. And it could be a wonderful thing. Some, once in a while, you see people, and maybe I've done it too, where you're just like suffering. Like I had a friend who gave up coffee, and he was like just miserable for 40 days. And then he finally had coffee, and it was like, dude, you haven't stopped talking for a half hour. And he was just buzzing with the caffeine. But it's one of those things where you just want to just between you and God, and just have that special time and that special sacrifice that you're making for Jesus. Not that he requires it of you, but you're giving it to him so that you can focus more on him. And it's a wonderful experience. And so there's the challenge for you. And this is something we're participating together. And so these are on the tables just outside in the lobby, in the lobby space. And you can pick one up or two or three, however you want, however many you want. We made lots, I think. And so and we can make more for next week if you need more. But just enjoy that time with Jesus as we do that together. So we've been focusing on the book of Ephesians in the past while, and we've been learning a few things. And first of all, that we are saints when we enter into the family of God, that he makes us saints. Also, that we're adopted into the family of God, that we have an inheritance that God gives us when we become a part of the family of God. And then also that there is a power that wells up within us. The power of God within us to be able to stand, to be able to do things, to be able to be a part of the kingdom of God here on earth. And today, Paul kind of switches gears a little bit and he talks about warnings and ways that we should not be going. And he talks about how we were going the wrong way and we should not enter those areas. And basically that we need to choose a path focused on Jesus. So let's read the passage today. It's Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I'm a little bit directionally challenged. Now, that seems like a weird thing because you've got your phone, right? And your phone has the GPS and all that kind of stuff. And I mentioned I was in the U.S. a few weeks ago and I was in this strange city and it was right near the airport, and it was in walking distance. I'm like, I'm not going to take an Uber. I'm just going to walk because, you know, I'm Dutch. I'm cheap. I don't want to pay for a ride if I can walk. And so here I am with my rolling suitcase and my backpack and walking and following my phone. And, you know, when you have it, when it's walking directions, you don't press go because then your phone talks to you and does all that stuff. And you're like, nah, I can figure this out. This is good. I can follow the arrow. I can follow the line. And so I'm walking confidently down this road, and I know it's the right road because it's right in the map. And I'm constantly walking and walking and walking and walking. And then I look, man, why is that line getting longer? It's getting, what is going on here? And I look and, oh, I was going on the right street, the exact wrong way down the right street, walking away from the airport instead of towards the airport. Now, thankfully, I had a lot of time. A little bit shorter time because I had, you know, stops at a nice coffee shop and that kind of stuff, and they had comfortable chairs. But I did get there on time. But it's one of those things where sometimes we are just confidently walking down a path, thinking it's the right way, and then suddenly we realize it's exactly the wrong way. And this is what Paul is warning us about is assessing whether we're on the right path, assessing whether we're going the right way and walking towards Jesus instead of away from Jesus. Because when we experience Jesus, we recognize that there is a better path to choose. And sometimes we need to choose that path again and again and again and again. Because a lot of times we'll be walking down a path and we get just a little bit off. Or we walk down the path and we get distracted and we walk this way instead and we walk away from Jesus. And there's so many ways within this world that pull us away from walking towards Jesus and focusing on Jesus. Paul said right in verse 1 where he said, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And see, when we choose to follow Jesus, we pass from a life of death to a life of life. When we do baptisms here at Grace Point, we do the immersion baptism. And so we like dunk them way down in the water and we hold them there for a little bit. And then we pull them back up and we tell them, yeah, we'll pull you back up, even if it takes a little bit. But the symbolism of the waters of baptism is that we immerse them in the water. They've already chosen to follow Jesus. And we hear their testimony and, you know, they got salvation, all that kind of stuff. But this is the symbolism to kind of say, yes, I've made that decision. And the symbols of baptism are we put them down into the water and it washes away the sin and they come back a new creation. And that's the symbolism of baptism that we participate in, so that when somebody chooses to follow Jesus, they recognize in their life that I am dead to that old world, that it is behind me, and that I have chosen a new life in Christ. And I've gone from that path of destruction that is focused on the temporary pleasures and draw of this world to a life of eternity and a new life that has purpose here and now to expand the kingdom of God. And that is the symbolism of passing from death into life. And so there's this old life that we left behind. And for some people, we hear in their testimonies that they left behind anger or hatred or prejudice or arrogance or pride or greed or lust or selfishness, and there's, the list goes on and on and on. We can list all of the things within our own lives and the list of the lives of other people, of all the things that they've had to leave behind. And then we have this new life in Christ as we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit in verses 22 to 23, where it says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things we have access to when we enter into a life with Jesus. These are the things that we sometimes are like, how did I have that sense of joy, that sense of peace in that situation? How is it that suddenly some of the things that tempted me and tripped me up so many times within my life, as I surrendered to Jesus and invited the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, that suddenly I have more self-control, more gentleness, more faithfulness, more goodness in my life? And it's not that our life becomes perfect all of a sudden, but usually inside it becomes better. It becomes better. And as we grow in Jesus, and as we develop our relationship with Jesus, and as we focus on Jesus and learn about his words and his works and his ways, we find ourselves looking a little bit more like Jesus, as the kingdom power is within our lives. In verse 2, it says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So Paul talks about the state of the world. And now, if we look at the present age, I spend a lot of time researching this. Of what it looks like to be in our current cultural moment, our current technological moment. And see, I've had the privilege of being without technology and now being with technology, and reflecting on my childhood versus the childhood of children today, or my childhood compared to my adulthood of today. And watching as technology just advanced so rapidly that things that were machines that took up a whole room and barely did anything and no one understood them, to now we have more powerful machines in the palm of our hand that give us endless information instantly. And what happened is, as a society, we become pacified with technology, that we can't have a moment of boredom. We're afraid to be bored, aren't we? I remember when I was a kid, I would say, I'm bored. And then I stopped saying it because that meant that I had to do housework, right? You know what I'm talking about. Don't say you're bored. I'll give you something to do, right? And eventually you stop saying it, but you still end up having to do the chores anyway, right? But the thing is, now, you know, you're in a lineup, or you're waiting at the checkout or something like that. And what do? You're on your phone. You're not looking at the gum and the delicious candy at the checkout, right? You're looking at your phone, which tells you to go buy the candy. But the thing is, we really struggle with being bored. And there are times where sometimes I'll just sit and I'll just look out the window or just spend some time just finding that peaceful spot. And it's a beautiful moment because I find that I wish I was more bored in my life because our lives have gotten really busy, haven't they? It's hard to not be busy. It's harder to not be busy than to get busy with things, isn't it? And so we have this thing where we just have a hard time slowing down our minds, which stifles our creativity even. And as we enter into all the information that's coming at us, sometimes we question truth. The things we knew were true or thought were true, we question whether they're still true, and we distrust everything, don't we? We've been led to distrust everything. And then we read about how there's violence everywhere and that peace that we thought we understood is now kind of ambiguous. Where greed is power, where norms are ignored in regular society, where decorum seems to be optional, where confusion is common. And that's the result of this present age. And friends, all of this that has caused us to question truth, caused us to question each other, caused us to not trust each other and to not trust in God. Friends, this is the kingdom of the air. And if you haven't figured out what Paul is talking about here yet, he's talking about Satan. He rules the air and it is full of hot air. I think that's maybe where that expression came from. You know, when somebody who just talks, and just, man, that's a lot of hot air because, you know, hair that comes in your mouth is hot. And maybe this is where it came from. I don't know. But friends, we need to be discerning. We need to be wise. We need to be understanding about what's coming at us and how to filter that through the gospel, how to filter that through the wisdom that God gives us, that the ruler of the earth. Now, here's how I liken it. Is many of you have been to Haiti. We had a partnership that was going on there, and a lot of the men from the church and I went to Haiti. And one of the things about Haiti is they don't have garbage dumps and places to put their garbage, so they burn their garbage. And so you come off the plane and it just smells like burning garbage all the time. And it's like, you know, when you're at the campfire and somebody throws in a styrofoam plate and suddenly it smells funky. That's kind of how it smells all the time. But and that is just the scent that there is there. And there's no other way to get rid of the garbage. So they have to burn it. Well, once in a while, as you're driving down the street and usually you have the window open or you're in the back of a truck because that's what they do there. And you're driving and it's around supper time. Suddenly, instead of the burning garbage, you'll smell someone's delicious supper. And you're like, whoa, that smells good. I wish I was getting invited there because it smells so delicious. And there's this fragrance that emerges out of all the other smells. And it's just beautiful and wonderful. And suddenly you realize, wow, I haven't eaten anything all day and I'm really hungry. And I think of sometimes how we kind of get used to certain smells in the air. We get used to certain ways in the air that happen. We're like, oh, that's just the way things are now. And we kind of just go with the flow. But the thing is, as we talk to God, as we learn about God, instead of going to the regular flow of society, we recognize that that is not what God has called us to. He hasn't called us to just blend. He hasn't called us to just go with the flow. He's called us to follow Jesus. And sometimes going with the flow does not look like Jesus, does it? Does not look like Jesus, because Jesus helps us to not just focus on the present age, but the age to come, where there's a newness of God that he makes things new. There's a restoration for us and for the world that God wants to bring into the world. There's a transformation for us and for the world that God invites us into. And it doesn't mean that we have to bring it all. Jesus brings it all. He brings the restoration, the transformation, but he calls us to follow him into it, as opposed to following the spirit of the air. And it breaks my heart sometimes to even think about with my own life, how I've just kind of bought into certain things at times without really thinking about it too much. Instead of saying, okay, does this look like Jesus? Does this sound like Jesus? You see, Jesus came not to blend. He didn't blend at all. Jesus came to die. He came to serve. He came to rule, but not in the way we thought he would. It was a spiritual rule. And he came not just for this age, but for the age to come. Verse 3 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. You see, our inner struggle happens, doesn't it? And we try to hide it as much as we can, but we all have this inner struggle within us that we want to follow Jesus, but oh, it's so hard. And there's this battle within us that happens, and we want to follow Jesus, but it's like, oh, this seems so nice and so good right now. I just want to do this. I just want to like just veg out for a little bit, or I just want to do this for a little bit and just take a break from following Jesus, because it's not always easy to follow Jesus. It requires something of me. But sometimes we need to reflect on where we were before we met Jesus. Where were you before you met Jesus? Or even where would you be if you had not met Jesus? Where were you before you met the community of believers that you belong to? Where were you and what were you doing before you experienced the transformation and the restoration of Jesus within your life? Sometimes we need to contemplate that to understand where we are. So where we were helps us understand where we are, that we are with Jesus, that we are with others who follow Jesus, that we are with continual transformation and renewal in our lives, that God keeps working within us. That's where we are. But then also to remember why those matter. Why does that matter? Because we need to be continually looking into our lives and reassessing our lives and seeking renewal and transformation with our lives that Jesus brings into our lives. Because it's not just we surrender to Jesus and I got that base covered, I'm good to live my life. No. Friends, it's a growing aspect within our lives. And the growth of the Christian life happens in rapid succession, but then also slow steps, small steps. And sometimes we take 3 steps back and have to take a bunch of steps forward to be able to catch up. But we always need to remember what God has done in our lives and what he is doing in our lives. And to kind of measure that a little bit sometimes. And that's why journaling is so important. They talk about journaling and how important it is. And I don't journal very, very disciplined-like, but every once in a while I will journal, especially at critical times in my life. And I write down what I'm processing, what God is doing in my prayers. And then once in a while I'll go back and I'll go, wow, look at where God has been working in my life in all of these areas of where I was. And here he is speaking into my life now and recognizing how, wow, that took a long time for this growth to happen in my life. And sometimes God helps us to be really, 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 really patient in how he's working in our lives and helping us in our journey. But there's so many times in our lives where that old self keeps creeping up into our lives. And the things that we might have struggled before we follow Jesus sometimes creep into our lives. And sometimes it's not like we've just totally abandoned Jesus and we're going the opposite way. But sometimes it's like we take just a few degrees off. Still looks like we're doing all the right stuff, but it's just a few degrees off of things that we haven't necessarily surrendered to Jesus. That we're still struggling with, and we haven't invited God and the Holy Spirit to work in our life in those areas of our lives. And what happens if you're just a few degrees off of where you want your destination to be, and it's a long journey? What happens? You end up somewhere else, don't you? It's just 1 or 2 degrees, and you end up somewhere else. And it's closer to God than if you were going the opposite direction, but it's still a little bit off. And friends, I see this sometimes as I've heard about stories of church leaders and churches and even pastors who keep going on a journey and on a path, and it's just a few degrees off. And what happens, it's not just their sin life, but it's just maybe some of the things they're doing as church leaders or as a church or as a pastor. And what happens is I've seen so many pastors and so many people leave the church just because it's not that they're going the opposite way, but they're just a few degrees off of where God is leading them. And what happens is that people end up turning back and going the other way. And some leave the church, but don't necessarily leave their faith. And some leave their faith entirely. And friends, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart to hear about those stories of pain, those stories of unresolved conflict, those stories of not looking to Jesus and the results of those stories don't end with looking like Jesus. And so sometimes we need to take an inventory in our lives and to think, okay, am I dead on, focused on Jesus, or am I a few degrees off? And sometimes that few degrees is just the 1,000 decisions we make throughout the day. It might be giving up something that we need in our lives to follow Jesus in a focused way. And that's a great time during Lent. Here's another plug for Lenten series. During Lent, to be able to take some of those things out of our lives, to just focus on Jesus and to choose to focus on Jesus, to focus on God, to focus on developing ourselves spiritually throughout the time of Lent. Because the closer we are to Jesus, the more we recognize when things are not of Jesus. So find the direction that Jesus is leading you and walk towards Him. Verse 4, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Now, alive, that's an incredible word, isn't it? Alive. There's an aliveness sense with Jesus that didn't exist in our lives before. And that's an important thing also to reflect on in our lives, is that, wow, I just felt so alone, so lonely, even though I had lots of friends or whatever, before I met Jesus, and now I met Jesus, I just have this sense of being alive in Christ, where I experienced His mercy that I didn't deserve, His grace that I didn't deserve, and His love that I didn't have to work for. He just gave it. And friends, that is what it means to be alive in Jesus, and to remember how alive in Jesus we are, even when the world is crashing down around us. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Jesus Christ. The resurrection. I talked a couple weeks ago about how the resurrection is the greatest demonstration of power that could exist to raise Jesus from the dead. But then Paul talks about the incomparable gifts that God gives us, that there is nothing like it, that it is completely original, not a copy of anything, that it is absolutely creative, that it can only be described through the poet's words, not regular words, and that it cannot be described because it is not comparable. Friends, that's the gift of the resurrection within our lives. That it's not just some random guy being raised from the dead, but it is the Savior of the world being raised from the dead, who gives us the opportunity to be alive in Christ, to be alive in Jesus. He talks about riches. Now, when we think about riches, what do we think about? What is it? What does wealth look like for us? What does wealth look like for you? Sometimes we have all the things that we need, all the things that we want, but man, there's still no fulfillment in that. And what does it mean to be rich, really, in this world? We think that it's having a whole bunch of stuff, having the fanciest stuff, but richness, wealth, is grace that is given to us, that we receive from Jesus, and that we pass on to other people. Friends, that is true wealth, isn't it? And we all have access to that true wealth because Jesus gave it to us. And it also talks about Jesus expressing His kindness to us. There's riches, but there's this kindness. What does it mean to be kind? What does it mean to receive kindness? And so many times within our lives, within our interactions, kindness seems to be a little hard to come by sometimes, doesn't it? To be treated with kindness, and that kindness that we have and we've received through Jesus, that we can pass forward to others. And what does that look like in our lives, in our daily expressions and interactions and experiences, to be a kind person? To pass peace on to others. And that peace is not just your peace, but the peace of Jesus. And doing it in a way that's more creative than saying, the peace of Jesus be with you at the checkout. right? That probably won't go over all that well, depending on who they are. But to be peaceful, to be kind towards others. It might even just be eye contact and acknowledging that they're a human being, unless you prefer the self-checkout. Then it's just this bossy computer telling you what to do. And usually they don't work, so you have to interact with somebody to help fix the machine when you broke it. But, you know, those are the things that happen within our world. But also to always have that kindness, even when we might be frustrated or impatient, to just take a deep breath and say, okay, this is a moment where I can experience God's peace in the midst of the chaos that I'm in. To be an expression of kindness. And it's not about just that behavior of kindness, but a lot of times what comes out of us is a result of what is going on in us. Do you know what I mean? And so how is God's kindness being received into your life? His peace, His grace, His love, His generosity. And as it works within you, how are you expressing that towards the world? You see, our priorities, our inner world needs to align with our outer world. And I think for all of us, we want our inner world to align with Jesus. With Jesus. And so many times as I interpret things within the world that I read or I hear or interactions that I have, I think, okay, does that look like Jesus? And that's the filter of how I see the world. Does that look like Jesus? Does that seem like something Jesus would do? And then even to ask my own self, do I look like Jesus? Are my actions in line with what Jesus would do? Now, I know that's a very tall order within our lives, isn't it? And very rarely will we completely 100% measure up. But there might be moments where we're like, wow, yeah, I really sense that Jesus led me into that interaction. Or I really sense that that person was listening to Jesus and that was the action of Jesus within that experience. You see, when we experience Jesus, we recognize that there is a better path to choose. And sometimes we need to choose it over and over and over and over again. So some questions to ponder. First one is just a question of reflection. What was it like when you first met Jesus? Every once in a while, we need to come back to that, don't we? What was it like when you first met Jesus? Secondly, how is Jesus helping me? How is he helping you stand in the face of the struggles in this world? How is he helping you stand? Thirdly, how is Jesus helping me stand in the struggles that are within me? Not just in the world, but the things that are within me and how that helps me interact with the world. And finally, how can I focus more on the incomparable riches of Jesus in my life? Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for these words of Paul that give us a lot of reflection, a lot of truth, a lot of guidance within our lives. And God, I pray that as we enter into this season of Lent and even before, God, that we would be reflecting on how you've worked in our lives right from the beginning. How you're continuing to work, how you help us to interpret the things that are happening in this world and speak into it. And Lord, how you're helping us to work through the struggles that there are within us. So that, Lord, we can be focused on the riches that you give us that are incomparable to anything in this world. Leads us to being thankful to Jesus for what he did for us, giving us access to life. Lord, help us time and time and time again to choose you over